Like what you hear? Tell your friends. Thanks for listening to HRNradio.com.
This is Margaret McCraw. You're listening to Business Life Works, the radio show that is produced by Healthy Life Net and teaches you the harmonic matching process to create a fulfilling life and a fulfilling business. Today we're going to be speaking with Claudia Newcorn, who should be on the line with us. Claudia, are you there?
Yes, I am, Margaret. Good morning, and thank you for having me on your show.
Good morning. Good to have you. Well, good morning where you are. You're in California, and I am in Baltimore, so it's afternoon here.
But... Okay, good afternoon. Good day. How's that?
That works, Claudia. That works. I'm excited to have Claudia with us today because, you know, one of the most important things to any business is being able to market your services and being able to do that in a way that's of the highest degree of integrity, that you are coming from passion and purpose in everything you are doing. And with that beautiful, good, positive energy, you really do access all the resources in the universe. However, you know, as Claudia is going to talk with us, there are still skills and techniques and things that we will access because we are in that positive vibration, that we learn the ways of going about teaching people, guiding people, showing them what we can offer them, the services or the products that we have. And so Claudia is going to spend quite a bit of time with us today on this topic, marketing strategies for a successful business. So Claudia, I'm going to give our listeners a little bit of information about your background, but then I want you to kind of share with us afterwards how you got on this journey of helping people with their marketing strategies. So Claudia Newcorn is an award-winning strategic marketing consultant. She's also the author of the Amazon best-selling book, Zipline to Success, Fast Track Marketing Strategies to Accelerate Your Sales and Profits. And you know, Claudia, I know everybody likes that word, fast track.
So, yes, they do.
Everything's fast track today. So this book did win the business book category at the San Francisco Book Festival, by the way. So I think that congratulations are in order to you, Claudia.
Thank you very much. I was delighted to receive it.
Yeah, you're welcome. With decades of corporate experience with industry leaders such as Gillette and E&J Gallo, Claudia has worked with hundreds of clients from entrepreneurs to mid-sized firms and large corporations as the president of her company, Acorn Enterprises Consulting. She developed a zipline system that reveals big company marketing secrets to help company owners of all sizes, managers and their teams, rise above obstacles and achieve their business goals, all while enjoying the ride. So that sounds wonderful, Claudia, and I'm going to have questions for you, being a business owner myself. You know, some of the businesses that I have are marketing involves marketing to people who are local, and some involve online marketing. And strategies can be very different for online versus, you know, the live services you might be offering to a local community. So let's get started. First of all, I want to know a little bit more about your background and how you got involved with setting up your own business and moving forward with helping people with marketing.
Well, Margaret, believe it or not, it all started with a cup of hot chocolate.
Okay.
I share with people, I'm really passionate about helping people. There's something extremely rewarding when you know that you have helped an individual, a company, a group of people succeed in their goals, whether they are financial or nonprofit motivated.
Mm-hmm.
And what had happened is back in the recession of the early 90s, I had a favorite coffee shop I loved to go to. I'm going to confess, I'm a hot chocolate addict.
Mm-hmm.
And she made, honestly, the best hot chocolate you have ever had. It just every day I'd go in and I'd smell the chocolate and the fresh pastries. It was a ritual. Mm-hmm. And one day I walk in, the shop happens to be empty, and I see her shoulders shaking. And I'm like, what's the matter? Are you okay? And she turns to me, and literally, Margaret, there are tears coming out of her eyes. And she goes, my business is dying. I don't know what to do. I've got three young children. She was a single mom at the time. And who's going to hire a 55-year-old woman? And honestly, I got really mad, not at her, but just at the circumstances. And I said, look, you have been a wonderful person to me for years. I love your hot chocolate. But let's make a deal. If you're willing to listen to what I can do, I'll coach you, I'll advise you. I know we can turn this around. you just have to pay me in hot chocolate. And the upshot of it was, among many other activities, I actually went out and researched the competition. And what I discovered when I reported back into her is that everyone else offered a basic sandwich at $5.99. And they also offered a meal option where you could do an add-on. And while this may not sound like a lot right now because we're in a good economy, this is the heart of the recession when she only offered a meal option, which was a dollar more. And I said, look, you are not responding to your customers' wants and needs. I want you to add a basic sandwich. That's all you have to do. She did, and the upshot of all of this is she's still in business 20 years later, and I have to pay for my hot chocolate.
That sounds like a wonderful story. Now, you know, I want to add into that this conversation a little bit, you know, the whole thing of purpose and passion. And I think some people's business starts to dwindle, not necessarily because there isn't a need or not necessarily, and you can tell me what you think, but not necessarily the lack of need and not necessarily the lack of even the right marketing strategy. But when individuals set the intention to live purposefully and passionately, sometimes we get shifted and we're dragging our feet because we're determined that this is where we belong, when maybe it's where we used to belong, maybe it's where we still belong, and maybe we need to go forth and do some other things. And I'm speaking personally. I've had that happen in my own life. So that's why I'm bringing this up, that, you know, I can, and I've had it in my coaching work with people, that there are times when they know there's something else they need to be doing. They may even know what that is, but they're very comfortable where they are. They're very comfortable with the service or the product or whatever they're doing, and they're not, they don't want to leave on one level, yet they do, and there's a lot of reasons why, but they want also to fulfill fully and completely their life purpose. They want to obey that inner calling. Speak to that a little bit.
People really often launch their businesses from a point of passion, to your excellent point of view there, because they have an idea, they have an inspiration, they have a motivation. And when people launch a company, it takes a tremendous amount of drive and energy. You yourself know that as a business owner. But what often occurs over time is, fundamentally, we're always changing. I like to tell folks change is permanent. And that applies to the people who may be taking advantage of your product or your service. Let's say you launched your company 20 years ago. Maybe you're a bakery, for example.
Sure.
And if you are targeting people who are getting married, brides, what you'll find is 20 years ago, your audience was what's now called Gen X. They had different buying patterns, different buyer behaviors than the millennials do. Social media, as we know, it did not exist 20 years ago. So when you get into too deep a groove in your business and you've been comfortable in the way you've been doing things, you actually, particularly given how fast things change now, unintentionally put yourself and your business at risk by not recognizing that change is a necessary part of business and a healthy part of it as well for not only your business but yourself to grow and evolve.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, and I think, you know, sometimes people are just so concerned about taking the risk, or they're, like you said, you know, they're very comfortable. They're willing to stay and focus on that one aspect of their business. I know that was the case for me, but I kept feeling that inner calling to go back and do something that really, you know, it was like I had gotten an aspect of my business in really good shape, and it was like being at the beach. I like to say at Marco Island in Florida. It's one of my favorite beaches. Hopefully it will be through the hurricane process, recovering very soon. But it would be like being at the beach, the most beautiful beach, and you're loving it. And so that's how I had gotten my business. And then I kept feeling this inner calling that I wasn't responding to. And I knew. I mean, I'm very in tune to that. But I was so comfortable at the beach and so much enjoying the breeze and the sand and the water. And so I wouldn't shift fast enough, really. Yet my overall intention, Claudia, was to honor all the things I wanted to do on a higher level, that I set those intentions, I believe, on a high level, you know, and that I wanted to honor them, that when I leave this earth plane, I want to know that I've done that, that I, instead of just saying, well, I clung to this or I just stayed with this because it was going so well and I loved it. I mean, that was the thing. I'm not talking about somebody who wasn't feeling purposeful and passionate about their work and that their work was of great service. I'm talking about somebody who knew that work needed to continue, but there was room in my life and in my schedule to add on another aspect that was really going to require a lot from me, a lot of energy, a lot of effort, a lot of doing some things that I don't like doing to be of service, okay? Mm-hmm. And so it did require, I found that until I was willing to say yes to that, that things started to come unto, you know, unglued, let's put it that way, in the aspect of my business that was so tightly knit. And then when I put together a plan to go forward and honor that other part of myself and to be of service in another way, the original business came back together beautifully without any effort from me, truly.
Well, as you said, you were paying attention to inputs coming from all levels, and that's essential to being a successful business owner.
Yeah, I think so. We should talk about that. Talk about that a little bit more, would you?
When you're a business owner, I think most owners would agree with me, you're really wearing tons of hats. You're juggling this. You're dealing with employees. You're working with customers, sometimes upset customers. You have to worry about your bottom line. Can you pay the bills? And so what tends to happen in my experience in working with folks, Margaret, is that they become very day-to-day reactive. There's really little to no time they feel to do anything but take action on that which is the most immediate.
Right.
And the reality is, whether we recognize it or not, things are constantly changing around us. And one of the things I work very hard on when working with clients is coaching them, consulting with them to get above the day-to-day. That's where the zip line to success mnemonic came to being, that sometimes you've just got to get above the weeds and see what is going on in your business, with your customers, with even your market, because by their very nature they are changing. I always advise people that if you have to set one priority as a business owner, you've got to keep your finger on the pulse of your audience. How are they changing? What are their current wants and needs? Why are they coming to you to provide a service? And what do you do that sets you apart, makes you special, makes you unique, so that when a competitor tries to take your customers away, your customers are going, no, I'm loyal to Margaret. I don't need to go to another coach. I don't need to go here or there. I am 100% satisfied with what I get. And that's all that matters to me. And I think
right.
That's vital for any business owner to realize if you're not paying attention to that, you really increase your risk of losing your customer base.
Oh, I completely agree with you. Absolutely. I just couldn't agree more with you, Claudia. You do have to really be on top of that. And that really requires, too, just using your own intuitive skills or, you know, meditation, no matter what people's beliefs are. We know a lot about meditation now, and I know meditation has brought me many creative ideas, many insights into what I need to do to bring things about the right way, the optimal way. Do you meditate? Do you speak to that at all?
I do what I call nature meditation, mm-hmm. in the sense that I recognize I've got to take breaks. When you're running your own business, you know, a 14-hour day isn't atypical. And I'm very strict in making sure that I get out a couple times a day, no matter what the weather is. I don't bring music. I don't any connectivity. I disconnect.
Mm-hmm.
And my goal is to reconnect with the relaxing environment of nature. So I will go for a walk. I'll take a look at what's going on, you know, with the trees, the plants, the birds. And in doing so, it allows me to downshift and regroup. I'm usually sorting problems out probably in the subconscious at the time.
Sure.
And it allows me to be a much better consultant and coach that I don't bring my hurly-gurly back to the table, so to speak. I come back to say, there's a lot bigger things in life than the fact that my computer just threw a fit at me, and it helps me always reset my priorities.
Yes, yes, absolutely. That sounds good. Well, let's talk a little bit about your book, Claudia, because you've got some wonderful chapters here. I think I'm going to kind of ask you a few questions about some of your key chapters. Let's start with the first one. It's called How Leaping Before You Look is Guaranteed to Hurt You. So, yeah, do you have some key points from that? I know, let's just start with that, you know, how leaping before you look is guaranteed to hurt you. Tell us about that.
Sure. When I work with clients, I work with a lot of startups and entrepreneurs. And one of the most inspiring part of that type of consulting is the passion that people have. They've got a dream. They've got an idea. And they are 200% convinced that it is going to be a success. And that's really something that's vital to being a successful entrepreneur. But what tends to happen, unfortunately, is about 95% of the time, they basically literally leap before they look. And by that I mean they say, okay, I'm going to, you know, take my life savings, I'm going to open a shop, or I'm going to invest in a particular service, and I'm going to hang out my shingle, and everyone's going to beat a path to my door. We've all heard the better mousetrap analogy, and it really is legitimate. Whenever you have an idea, Margaret, that's fabulous. But the first thing you want to do before you jump off the cliff and discover there are rocks down there is say, all right, I want to, let's say, open a daycare service. I'll give this as a great example that happened with a client. This lovely young woman I was working with said, I'm going to open a daycare service. And she had researched what licensing she needed and what the facility had to look like. And she was totally pumped up to spend about $75,000 to set this all up. Mm. And my first question to her was, are there people in your market who are going to take advantage of this service? Mm. And she kind of looked at me. And I said, well, you're offering daycare. Do you have parents in the area? So I sent her to take a look at the government's, what they call U.S. Census Quick Facts, which is an amazing website where people can go and they can type in their state that they're and the town that they're looking at and find an incredible amount of demographic information. It's a very easy website to use. And so I said, I want you to go there and take a look at your demographic profile. You know, how old are people? How many are there? What are they making for money? And then I also sent her to city-data.com, which is another great website. Both of these are free, where she could get additional profiles about who owned homes and where they were located and what the ethnic profiles are. And I said, tell me, after you've done your research, whether or not there are people who will buy your service. And she came back, Margaret, and said, I never realized I was living in a college area. These are college students. They don't have children. They don't need daycare. So it wasn't that her idea wasn't valid.
Right.
Her location was wrong.
Right, right, right. So you took her to, let's make a note, quickfacts.com, is that correct?
And that's correct. So just basically put U.S. Census Quick Facts, and it'll take you right to the link to connect with that. And then once you're there, you'll be able to very easily, it'll tell you enter state, country, city, or town. You can do a general search, or you may have a particular fact. It will actually allow you to do multiple searches and compare the tables right next to each other. Let's say you're evaluating different areas
that
you might be interested in setting up your business.
Right.
It provides extensive data, for example, population, race, housing. Let's say you might be saying, well, I want to serve as a realtor people who are in this income demographic who own homes.
Claudia, we have to take a quick segment break. Sorry to cut you off. I will be back in just a moment with Claudia, who's given us some wonderful information here today. Claudia Newcorn.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
This is Margaret McCraw, host of Business Life Works with HealthyLife.net. We're here today speaking with Claudia Newcorn, who has a wonderful book called Zipline to Success, fast-track marketing strategies to accelerate your sales and profits. And I know, Claudia, that your book can be purchased on Amazon. Can it also be purchased at your website?
It can be purchased through my website, yes. It's also available at Barnes & Noble, or your local bookstore can order it in for you if they don't carry it.
Great. Now, your website is ziplinetosuccess.com, correct?
Yes.
Wonderful. And what else will they find on your website? We'll take a moment and talk about that.
I actually have set up on Facebook, which I'd like to talk about social marketing afterwards. If people go to facebook.com/acornmarketing, I am regularly posting information and resources, ideas, excellent articles, constantly sharing new and updated information that they can use for their businesses, whether they have an existing business or an idea for a business. And I have found that it's become my blog by doing it there. So folks can go to the website and get a lot of great information, and then they can follow me on Facebook for even more or on LinkedIn.
Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, great. All right, well, would you like to talk a little bit about social media marketing? Because I think we ought to give that quite a bit of attention today. The time is going quickly.
Yes, actually, thank you. Social media marketing is one of the probably biggest hot spots right now that a lot of people are asking about. And I want to let folks know that it's okay to feel confused by it. You're not alone because it's changing so quickly. Rules that might have applied, say, a year ago have shifted again.
Mm-hmm.
And, Margaret, some of the questions I often get is, what's the best time to post? When should I be on Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter? And the first rule to follow is know your target audience. Know who your buyers are, because there are suggested times. But let's say you're targeting young mothers. Perhaps you have an Etsy-based business or you're selling related products, and you want to be on Pinterest. Well, if you know your audience, you know when are young moms going to be on Pinterest? When the kids are in bed or napping. And so normally the peak times for that audience would be, say, between 1 and 2 o'clock, and then again, say, about 8 or 9 o'clock at night. So it's very important, first and foremost, to know who your buyers are. That said, I would recommend the ballpark times that are given is, let's say you'd like to tweet on Twitter. Believe it or not, it's 12 to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday. That's when people are most likely to be following and checking out tweets. Facebook is actually 12 to 3 p.m. Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and then between 12 and 1 on Saturdays. And then Instagram is 12 to 1 Monday through Friday. Interestingly enough, we all tend to think that weekends are a great time to post, but in reality, you're going to have your greatest attendance during weekdays, which is something that's counterintuitive.
Mm.
And the other questions I often get is, what are some do's and don'ts with social media? The key word to remember, Margaret, is social. This is not about you. People really want to be reading or learning things that will help benefit them. If you're a bakery, post recipes. If you are you have a baby-related product or service, talk about ways that parents can improve their parenting or help their children develop. If you're a life coach, you want to be discussing with people what are ways that they can amplify their passion, their sense of purpose and integrity. It's the 80-20 rule, they call it. In social media, 80% of your posts should be about information and education. Only 20% should be, say, promotions or about your business or service. And that's a critical mistake a lot of people make in social media, though they don't mean to, which is why I wanted to bring it up.
Yes, no, I think that's good. Now, where do they get the data that you just gave us, like the best time for Pinterest, for Facebook, for Twitter? Where do they get that? Because I imagine that could change over time, couldn't it?
Oh, it does.
Or by
it does.
Season.
This data will change within, you know, a few months. There's a couple of excellent locations I would recommend people check. A social media center is called Hootsuite,
mm-hmm.
And this is commonly used by people who are posting on multiple social media sites. It acts as a Grand Central where you can aggregate your information and then just send it out. Hootsuite offers a lot of excellent data. And the best way to find that is literally search by best time to post on. And then you can specify Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, for example. Usually what I will do when I'm doing my searches, I will literally frame it up as best time to post B2B, best time, and then I'll state which social media I want to review. A caveat to folks using this technique, double-check the dates on the articles you are reading. Many of them can be 3 or 4 years old, and right out of the gate, it's no longer relevant. So make sure that the information you're reading on these different sites is fairly current.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, that sounds good. That sounds very good, like very good knowledge. So they just go to Hootsuite is where they do it, and they go to the search engine.
Correct.
Okay, that sounds great. So this is very valuable because, you know, this is what people are relying on. Now, when you talk about postings, you also can do the pay-per-click on Facebook. You can, you know, pay on Twitter to market. You can pay on Google. What's your opinion about all that?
Facebook has really revised its posting processes to more closely match traditional advertising, and that's a positive. You really can zoom in on trying to reach your target audience, but once again, you need to know who your buyers are. So if you want to target women age 20 to 30 in a zip code within your community, you can actually now do that with Facebook. Google AdWords has gotten very competitive and expensive, and it's really more based on people putting in a search word and you hopefully having a chance of appearing. Most of my clients are now finding they prefer Facebook. Twitter, I think, is still in its infancy as far as advertising. They realize, you know, they did an IPO, they've got to start generating revenue. And I think the jury is still out on the efficacy of Twitter advertising.
Okay. And how about Google, did you say? Google AdWords?
Google AdWords. And what I always encourage people to do is go to those respective sites. Go to Facebook, for example, Facebook.com/business. And when you go to Google and Facebook or Twitter, literally in their search engines, you want to ask best advertising practices, how to post a Facebook ad. And they offer excellent tutorials and resources to guide you in doing that because they want you to succeed, obviously. It benefits their bottom line, and it makes you a happy customer.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of YouTube for advertising?
I think YouTube, once again, is still undefined. I see more and more what I'll call social advertising, where you have successful people acting as endorsers. But people really don't want to deal with advertising. They can't escape it. And so YouTube right now seems to be the newest platform for people experimenting on that. I think right now there are mixed reviews.
Okay. Interesting. Well, there are so many different venues and different ways of doing this. And I think the thing for most small business owners is that trying to keep up with all this, trying to manage the day-to-day business, whatever that is, making a product, selling the product, and then to their current customers, customer base so that their quality always stays high, and then taking care of the little operational things day to day. But we're going to come back to that in just a moment, Claudia. We're going to take a quick segment break. We're going to be back in just a moment, and I would like you to address some of those things and more information in your book. So we'll be back in a moment with Business Life Works.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
This is Margaret McCraw. You're listening to Business Life Works, where we are the show that talks about always lining up your thoughts, your emotions, your belief systems with your desires, with your intentions, be it personal or business. And today we're speaking with Claudia Newcorn. She is the author of the book called Zipline to Success, Fast Track Marketing Strategies to Accelerate Your Sales and Profits. And you can buy her book at any major bookstore, certainly Amazon, but also on Claudia's website, which is ziplinetosuccess.com. Again, zipline, Z-I-P-L-I-N-E, to success.com. And her company is called Acorn Marketing. All right. So how'd you get the name for your Acorn Marketing, by the way?
You'll laugh, Margaret, but it's actually thanks to the fact that no one ever remembers my last name. There's something about new corn. People turn it into old corn, newcomb, and the list goes on. I've even been called old peas. I have no idea where that came from. So when I had realized after being in corporate America for years, and which is where I developed all of these big company marketing secrets, I was literally walking through an area where there are acorn trees, you know, oaks, and I got bopped on the head by an acorn.
Oh.
And I thought, acorn, from the small thought comes the mighty idea. And I genuinely felt it was a sign, and that's where the name Acorn Marketing came from. It is my logo. And to this day, I get called Claudia Acorn, but I can handle that.
I love it. Well, and it starts with an A, so when somebody's looking and they have a list of things, you're going to pop up at the top, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and I think how smart it was so many years ago when Apple named their, I mean, that was so smart. They just stepped out of the traditional, didn't they?
Absolutely.
Apple.
During that time back in the 80s, Steve Jobs, let's face it, he named everything interestingly. Lisa, Apple, Macintosh, and the list goes on.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, there you go. He was pretty incredible. So let's talk a bit about pricing, because I think that can be so tricky. Obviously, it involves looking at your competitors, pricing thoughtfully, and I think giving people as many options for pricing so that maybe they can grow into more expensive products or services. Go ahead. Let's talk a little bit about pricing. You have a chapter on this, Chapter 7, and you talk about pricing being one of the most powerful marketing tools. So what do you think they should consider when they set their prices?
Pricing is truly a minefield if you don't do it right. Very often a company says, okay, I'm going to set my pricing, and here are things you really want to consider as a business owner when you're evaluating your price. First and foremost, I will assume you are in business for profit, unless you're a nonprofit organization. And even in those cases, as I work with companies and organizations, pricing is a factor. So if you don't know what it costs you to do a product or service, and not just the cost of producing it, Margaret, but also the cost of what they call allocated costs, in other words, your rent, your utilities, your phone, you might be selling your product for too little. I was working with a gentleman who had this amazing gourmet ice cream, and he brought his financials to me, and he said, I can't seem to make any money. We went over his numbers. I asked him a lot of questions, and I said, are you aware that you're not covering your basic costs? So he was selling every cup of this delicious ice cream for a dollar less than it was costing him to make it. Small wonder he wasn't making any money. He didn't know his numbers. So that's mission critical in the pricing mix. Another critical element is what people are willing to pay. So you might say, well, I want to sell my ice cream for $6 a cup. But if in your market, because you know who your target audience is, they can only pay $4, it doesn't matter what you want to set the price at, will the market be willing to pay for it? And right there is where a lot of collisions occur. So what if it costs you $5 to make this ice cream, but you can only sell it for $4? Should you go into business? Or is there something you can do with your product or service to justify that high price, recognizing that your sales volume will probably be less?
Mm-hmm.
And business owners will say, well, you know, I'm just going to price it at this because this is what my competitors are pricing it at. Yes, I totally agree you've got to research your competition because people do shop on price. But if you can differentiate your product or service based on value, what you bring to it, for example, do you give extra customer service? Do you offer VIP programs? Do you guarantee? People put a lot of value on those, and that can move their perspective away from whether or not so-and-so is cheaper than you to, I don't want to go to so-and-so because I get so much more from buying my product or service from you.
That's a very, very good point. I think people do that a lot. I see that in the education field. You know, I do a lot of online certification training, and adding that extra value is very, very important to customers. I want to talk a little bit, though. You know, I'm thinking I also take a lot of courses, certification courses and other courses to maintain my license as a licensed clinical psychotherapist. And it's one, a requirement, two, it's just something I would want to do to maintain credentials and keep up with what's the latest in my field. One of the things I've noticed in taking courses is that the big companies and the small companies always pretty much price the same. If they were giving 5 credit hours, you pretty much paid X amount of dollars for that course. If it was a course that you got certified in along with the education, then, of course, it was more. And you could pretty much count on the pricing being the same. Then came out of the blue a company that started offering the same thing. Their credentials, they had the same credentials and provided the same continuing education credits and certifications. And that company really lowballed their pricing. And so I want to talk a little bit about that because I felt for the other companies who had kind of established the pricing, established their businesses around this, and then somebody comes and they're still around. They've been around for several years. I think they're doing well, probably very well, is they really lowballed it so that people like myself who are taking these continuing education credits, you know, might gravitate more toward them. What do you suggest to the other companies? Should they try to match that lower price? I mean, some of them started to try to do that. And then how about those people who paid, you know, let's say $1,000 for a certification course with a company, one of the more established ones, and then now that same course is being offered by everybody else for a third of the cost? You know, if they reduce their pricing to a third of the cost, people like me might come back and say, well, wait a minute, I paid X amount of dollars. I'd like a refund, right? So it's so tricky. So address that for us, would you?
Pricing wars, in my opinion, Margaret, are deadly because think about it. Realistically, what is the whole retail war we see going on now with Amazon and brick-and-mortar retailers? As they say, you know, click and order or brick-and-mortar. It's largely a pricing war, and it puts people, particularly businesses, at a real disadvantage when you only compete on price. And there are a lot of strategies we can talk about that a business can consider in that area.
Okay, we're going to come back in just a moment. We're going to talk about pricing because I think it is so critical. Stay tuned for more Business Life Works. We'll be back in just a moment speaking to Claudia Newcorn today.
The Bright Side of Talk, HealthyLife.net.
This is Margaret McCraw. We're speaking today to Claudia Newcorn for the show Business Life Works, and we are talking about marketing strategies for a successful business. Her most recent book is called Zipline to Success, Fast Track Marketing Strategies to Accelerate Your Sales and Profits. And Claudia's business, her consulting business and marketing, is called Acorn Marketing. You can go to her website, Zipline to Success. com is her website. All right, Claudia, we were talking about pricing before we just took a quick break, and I want to come back to this.
Pricing, like you were saying, Margaret, especially nowadays, has become a hypersensitive issue because so many people, as you were pointing out with that continuing education program, start doing lowball pricing. So what's a business owner to do? I will advise my clients, and I say the same to your audience, what is the most important thing you can do is take a half step back and go, okay, what makes my company, my business, my service special or unique? What makes me different? And really identify those points. The more you can say, well, yeah, so-and-so is offering this product at X, but look at all the other things I bring to the mix, I can justify my price point. The problem is if you have a commodity product. If you're all selling hair coloring, then people are going to shop you on price. Best Buy is struggling with that right now. It's a great example. Folks go into the store, they look up such and such a camcorder, and then they go and see if they can find it cheaper online.
Right.
So you really have to say, what else do I bring to the table? Is it your service? Do you have a return guarantee? Do you do free delivery? That's a big one right now with a lot of the brick-and-mortar stores. The more value-added from the customer viewpoint you can bring to the table, Margaret, the less likely you are to lose your customers. There's no guarantee, but Tiffany is still around. People buy a Rolex not because it tells time, but because of the value they see it brings to their status. You can do the same thing. How do you, as a business owner, Rolex or Tiffany eyes what you have to offer to your customers?
Mm-hmm. I think that's excellent. Yeah, no, I think that's very good. And you know, rather than trying to maybe match the lower pricing, which again, you kind of get into this whole thing, well, people will have the right to come back to you and say, well, you know, 3 weeks ago I paid X amount of dollars, right?
Correct.
So now you've got all these people that if you don't refund some of their money because now you've charged significantly less for your, let's say, your training program or whatever, they're going to be upset, and you don't want that either. That's bad press. They're going to wonder, how come I paid this and somebody else is paying that? We would all not, you know, none of us would like that, right?
So no, and remember, reviews right now are king out there. If people start growling, hissing, and spitting, everyone's going to know it.
Right. So, I'm a big person, too. Like, certain businesses, you can have agreements with people. Like, you know, somebody comes into the store, you're not going to do an agreement. But for my training programs, I have an agreement. It spells out everything they're getting and the value options, you know, that they've chosen or things that we just do that's extra. And I really highlight that in the agreement, too, so that people understand what they're getting, what they're paying for. There's no question about any of that. So I just wonder, you know, I think this whole thing of when there's a price war, I think that's really about the only thing, the main thing you can do rather than start lowering your prices now, too, is to start adding incredible value, more value, and that's going to be costly. It's always costly.
And you can also look at it in context of perceived value. For example, Margaret, let's say somebody is, I'll go back to the bakery because as you can tell I like pastries. So a baker might say, all right, I've got a new competitor down the street. They're selling my, you know, croissants 15 cents cheaper. So could you point out the fact you have organic ingredients? Can you tell people that if they buy three, you will buy from there three times, you will give them the fourth time something free, a surprise gift? From the customer's standpoint, there's much greater value. So they might say, wow, I'm getting, you know, $3 for nothing. And from the baker's viewpoint, they're spending 30 cents.
Right.
You look at your return on investment of trying to make yourself stand apart, and you often realize that the cost relative to the benefit is actually worth doing that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. No, I think that's good advice, good advice. Well, we don't have a lot of time left. Why don't we just talk about tips that you'd like to leave the audience with? I know that, you know, you talk about speaking your customer's language and many other wonderful things in your book, Claudia. So let's talk a little bit about your main tips to, let's say, a person out there in their business, whether they're established or they're new.
Thank you for the ability to do that. I would say one of the most important ones is what I refer to in my book is with me, W-I-F-M-E. In other words, what's in it for me? You need to be always able to look at your marketing efforts from the point of view of your customer, Margaret. They don't just want to know your features and your prices. They want to know the end benefits, the outcomes. What is the problem they have that you are going to solve? If you can't address that, then immediately it becomes a lot harder to persuade them to do ads, to do any marketing efforts, because you're not talking their language.
Mm-hmm.
The other piece, and I see this chronically when I see advertising or promotion, don't forget the call to action. Any form of advertising, unless you say Coca-Cola or a big player and you have a huge budget, to generate business. And that means give them a reason to come call you or come into your store. That's a call to action.
That sounds good. Listen, Claudia, we could go on and on talking about this. I'm sure I'm going to have to bring you back for another show at some point.
I'll be delighted.
We didn't cover so many areas, but I want to encourage our listeners to get your book, Zipline to Success, fast-track marketing strategies to accelerate your sales and profits. And go to Claudia's website, Zipline to Success. You can buy her book there at Amazon or any major bookstore. Thank you, Claudia, for being with us today. Really appreciate having you. And for my listeners, I'll be back in just a moment to fill you in on my training programs and information you might be interested in.
Thanks so very much for having me, Margaret.
You're welcome.
I was delighted.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Lighting the way with positive energy and love. HRNradio.com.
We're back. We're wrapping up our show here for December, a very beautiful month, an incredible opportunity to enjoy the holidays, enjoy your friends, and enjoy your family. And today we've talked about marketing and business and strategies for success, so many incredible things to think about and to tap into your own higher self, your inner consciousness, to figure out what's best for you so you stay on track living purposefully and passionately. If you are somebody who's interested in working with people and you think that coaching is part of what you'd like to do, whether it's coaching employees, coaching individuals out in the world around all aspects of their life, their health, their career, living purposefully and passionately, and even their relationships, then get in touch with me because we have fast-track credentialed, very strongly credentialed certification training programs for individuals and for professionals. We also have corporate life coaching packages. You can reach me at area code 410-929-9302, or you can just go to my website, info@bhcld.com. That's B like boy, H like house, C like cat, L like Larry, D like David, BHCLD.com. It stands for Behavioral Health and Leadership Dynamics. Until next month, I hope you enjoy every moment of this year, and I'll see you in the new year. Take care. Bye-bye.